God still answers prayer, and he does, folks. The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Amen. Pray. It's really a great privilege to be able to pray because we can come directly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We do not have a priest between us and the Lord, just a high priest, and he's at the right hand of the Father. If you have your Bible, turn to the book of Joshua, chapter number 2 tonight with me, please. Joshua is a transition book. It transitions you to the book of Judges. And the book of Judges is where every man did that was right in his own eyes. It's the wild, wild west, Judges. Then you come to 1 Samuel, and there God raises up Samuel, the last and the greatest of all the judges. And Samuel, of course, was recognized from Dan to Beersheba as the authority of God. So we have here in the book of Joshua, chapter number 2 and verse 1, and Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim 2 men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. They went and came again to harlot's house. They went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out the country. Search out all the country. And the women and the woman took the 2 men and hid them, and said thus, there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, the men went out. Whither they went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house, and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she'd laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they were pursued after them, were gone out, they shut the gate. Father, bless this book now. In your holy name, amen. Here you have in the book of Joshua, the story of Rahab, the harlot, who intentionally lied to these people about the spies. And that's what they were. She put her life on line because had they found these spies with her, she would have been accused of treason. And her life wouldn't have been worth a plug nickel. She would have died. So she laid her life on the line. Now, here's something that you think about tonight. She lied. There's another place in the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, where they lied. They lied to protect the children. When Pharaoh wanted the young men, the firstborn, the children, the males, he wanted them put to death. And the midwives lied about that. That's a general reference to a general thing found in the Bible. God doesn't like lying, but there is a time here and there on occasion when he'll use it. And this is exactly what happened here. He used it. So I guess it's a matter of you making sure that you're in the will of God and you're where God wants you to be, doing what God wants you to be doing. Amen. If a bunch of your brothers and sisters are in some building and the Caesar's looking for those brothers and sisters and ask you where they are, would you tell Caesar where your brothers and sisters and children were? Or would you let Caesar go about another way? Amen. I'd send him packing in a heartbeat. Joshua chapter number 2 is talking about Rahab the harlot. Now we're looking at Jericho. Jericho is an accursed city. The Lord said, whoever rebuilds Jericho will lay the foundation in his firstborn. That's a big statement in the Old Testament because the firstborn was the right of the priesthood of the home and the inheritance and all of that. And so the Lord told him he'll lay it in his firstborn. Now, of course, we know what happened to the walls of Jericho, and archaeologists have confirmed that because they found where the walls of Jericho fell down. One of the times when I was in the Holy Land, our guide pointed it out to us when we were at Jericho, at the site of the archaeologists. He pointed out to us, these are the walls of Jericho that have fallen down flat. Of course, I had no problem believing, and even if I hadn't seen it, I still believe the Bible. I have no problem believing the Bible. They have just discovered a writing in Paleo Hebrew that dates back 3,000 years, 3,000 years now, to one of the judges in the book of Judges. Amen. This is outside the scripture itself, but it just adds to the predominance of evidence over and over and over again that supports the word of God. Amen. It's like the Siloam inscription that they found in the tunnel that they hewed out to the pool of Siloam during the time of Hezekiah. Over and over again, they continue to find archaeologists' discoveries. You have nothing to fear from archaeology. You have nothing to fear from science, and you have nothing to fear from history. People will twist all three of them to try to prove anything, but in every case, they always support the word of God. They will never deviate. So what Rahab is known for is her faith. It's quite remarkable, too, when you consider who she was. Now, some of the old Jewish sages who, of course, like to help God out in the Old Testament, they said that she was an innkeeper. And this, of course, is to keep the idea of God ever using a prostitute. But folks, it's a prostitute. No question about it. She's a prostitute. In the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 31, the writer says, "By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she'd received the spies with peace." And then James says, "Likewise also was not Rahab, the harlot, justified by works, when she'd received the messengers and had sent them out another way." She's mentioned through the Bible. If you'll notice in Matthew chapter number 1, there she is. There she is in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. How much Rahab knew, I do not know. But this is an outstanding illustration of what I was talking about this past Sunday. Do you want the truth? You'll get the truth. You'll get more truth. And you'll get as much truth as you can stand from God. And God will give you truth after truth after truth. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And this is what happens with Rahab. She'd heard. Nobody was preaching to her. No churches, no Bible. She didn't have the scripture. She didn't have any of that. She was a pagan. She was a pagan in a pagan city. Yet word got out quickly about the children of Israel crossing the Red Sea, and about the kings of the Amorites and all of that, how God had destroyed them. That kind of word travels fast, believe me. And it had gotten to Jericho. And the people in Jericho, many of them were literally petrified when they thought about what was happening. But you'd notice now, look at the difference. It says plainly in verse number, notice it says on down here, chapter number 2 and verse 8, "Before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. She said to them, 'For I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side, Jordan, Sihon, and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our heart did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you.'" Now stop for a moment. They were all afraid. They were all scared to death. So why did God come to this one in particular? Why did he come to this prostitute's home on the wall, by the way? For one thing, when these spies came into her house, it was not an unusual thing, obviously, for men to be coming and going. So that did not raise any suspicion in that sense. But it did raise suspicion in the sense that they recognized who they were. These were Jews. Israelites were encamped at Gilgal on the other side of the Jordan River, and they were there in preparation to come across that river and take this land and take this city. But this woman was scared. Her heart melted, just like all the rest of them. But she took a step a little further than that, and the step that she took made all the difference in the world. Notice what she says to them. "For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath." She had come to the conclusion in her own way, in her own heart. Notice carefully that your God is the true and living God. Amen. Nobody preached that to her. She was part of the people of Jericho, but she said, "That's the true and living God." Amen. Step one. That's the truth, is he not? Absolutely. Amen. Then there's step two. Then there's step three. As God continues to draw her closer and closer unto himself. That's the way he does a lot of people. I just received one of the most remarkable testimonies that I've ever read. And I want to read it for you tonight. I'm going to be careful what I say here because of the anonymity. I think this person may not want to, and I'm certainly not going to mention his name or where it's from. But listen carefully. When the Lord Jesus Christ saved my soul, I was broken, living in hell. The things I was doing, I deserved to go to hell. I still deserve hell, but I thank God I'm not going there. So we have some humility with this person. Notice what he said. He said, I called out to God. I was in the woods, lying on a log, weeping, wanting it all to end. And I looked up to the heavens and said, I can't do this anymore without you. When I got up, I walked no more than 5 steps, and Jesus moved into my soul. When his spirit hit me, it felt like a warm bucket of oil was poured over my head and ran all the way down to my feet. It literally dropped me to my knees. I could feel the Lord's hand on my shoulder. I knew he was there. I still know it. It lasted a while, and the tears came out of me like never before. When it was all over, I could say, when it was over, all I could say was, thank you, repeatedly. All right, that's step one. Now listen carefully. Listen carefully. We're talking about a man that knows he couldn't find one book of the Bible from the other. A man that had no idea who God was, anything of that nature. He was as ignorant as he could be. But in his heart, he looked into the God of Israel and he cried out for help. That's what he was doing. Look how God handles this. He said, then came the conviction. It was no more than 2 days later that I was watching a testimony of a man who went to hell and the things he saw and the things he described to the people that were things I had done. I knew I was headed for hell. It was late at night and very cold. I left to go for a walk. While I was out, I began weeping again. And I cried out to God again. All I said was, please forgive me. And I felt the same warmth, like warm oil poured over me again. Now watch this. The weight lifted off me in an instant. I had been forgiven on the spot. Preacher, I was so fresh, so green, that I didn't even know what or who the Lord Jesus Christ or the Holy Spirit was. But our Heavenly Father led me to him. Step two, he wanted the truth. He cried out to the only God there is. And that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel began to do something with him now. Watch this. And he said, but our Heavenly Father led me to him, to our Lord Jesus Christ, and showed me who he is and what he has done for me. I love him, preacher. It wasn't until after watching many of your sermons and Bible teachings that I realized I had become born again. I didn't know enough of God or the Bible to even know what had happened to me. But now I know I am washed in his blood and saved from my sins by our Lord Jesus Christ. That shows you that he came to the true God and he revealed in his spirit who had saved him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this is quite a remarkable confession. There's an awful lot could be said about that tonight, and that'd be a different message in itself. But I try to emphasize to you tonight, don't ever let anybody tell you that they went to hell because you didn't tell them. No, sir, let me tell you something. As I said to you Sunday morning, he's the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. We're accountable for our lives. I'm accountable and you're accountable. There's nobody that'll ever be able to stand before God in judgment and blame somebody else for their judgment. We'll accept it ourselves. I accept. Each one of us accept. Now, somebody might have contributed to my damnation. Somebody might have been a vehicle or a vessel that Satan used to confuse me. But the truth of the matter is, some people want confusion. They don't want the truth. They want to hide behind this and hide behind that. If you can get a man to stop and think for 5 minutes about where he's going, you've taken a big step toward the salvation of his soul. The only thing this man knew was he needed God. He needed him. He didn't know anything about him, but he needed him. So what did God do? God used the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ to cleanse him and introduce him to the one who was his Savior. That was the work of God. And the Bible says when the Holy Spirit comes into this world, who is the active agent by the Father, of the Father, by the Son, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember that. That answers and explains so many things. Of the Father, by the Son, through the power of the Holy Spirit. God does nothing except he does it through his Son. And everything that is done by the Father and the Son is done by the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. You can't be saved without the Holy Ghost. But you don't have to be a theologian to be born again. You don't have to understand soteriology or pneumatology or eschatology, all the tologies. You don't have to understand all that. You don't need to know one Greek word. You don't even have to know one Greek letter or Hebrew letter. All you need to know is you're a sinner and you need God. That's what Rahab did. Rahab knew that she was a prostitute, and she knew she was living in Jericho. And there was nothing she could do about it to change it. But a ray of light came into her life one day when she heard about the God of Israel. Now the rest of them were scared to death, but they made no effort. Not a one of them made an effort to come to God or to seek him or want to know the truth or want to know more. But she did, obviously, because they came to her house. Of all the people, I'm sure she wasn't the only prostitute in Jericho, but they came to her house. Now, when you read that genealogy in the book of Matthew, chapter number 1, you'll read with Rahab is in there. And you look at that thing closely and you'll say to yourself, you know, good night, man. We've got everything in the world in this genealogy. Yes, we do. You see, that's the genealogy of the earth, of the people of the earth, like Mary that bore him. It's a genealogy of grace. That's exactly what it is. Every last one of them are in that genealogy because of grace. Hebrew women, ever since Genesis chapter number 3 and verse number 15, Hebrew women, the wives, the Hebrew wives, always hoped and prayed that they would be the mother of the Messiah. They'd be the mother of Messiah. They'd bring the Mashiach into the world. Well, where does Rahab fit in that? Rahab is the great, great grandmother of David. Smack dab in the genealogy. Boaz is a direct descendant of Rahab. God's able to take that which is wicked and vile and ungodly, the offscouring of the world, the dregs of the world. He's able to take that which is of no good whatsoever and raise it to the highest level. Not because of any value it has, but the one thing that pleases God more than anything else is somebody that believes. Faith. Faith is a remarkable thing. Faith will inspire you. It'll motivate you. Faith will give you light. Faith will get you through what nothing else could get you through. And there's a lot of different things about God when you have faith. You have faith in his goodness. You have faith in his character. You have faith in his power. You have faith in his mind, his future, his planning and opening of your life and all these things. There are many different aspects of faith in God, you see, because God's such a big one. No human could ever exhaust all of the things that you could have when it comes to faith. The only other thing that I know of in the Bible that would stand equal with faith in God would be the love of God, your love for him, to love him, because he certainly seeks that, to love God, to love him with all your heart and all your soul and all your might. There's a difference between the Old Testament saint and the New Testament saint. He had to command them to do it in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, you love him because he first loved you. Amen. It's a pure love, pure form of love. So Rahab made a choice. That choice that she made had eternal consequences. We have a hard time understanding that. Eternal consequences. She said, "For we have heard that your God, the God in heaven above and in earth beneath, he's the true and living God." Not all these pagan idols and stuff that belong to the Amorites and the Jebusites and the Philistines and all that. Dagon and all that garbage. He's the true and living God. Now you have to be convinced of something tonight if you'll ever go on with God. Say, what's that? You have to be convinced in your heart and in your soul. I don't know how much you know about him, but you need to be convinced There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Regardless of how much you know about him, there's one God. All the rest of that junk out there, I don't care who they are, there's just one God, just one true and living God. And I am so privileged tonight to know him personally, to know him. I can't imagine the joy that ran through Rahab's soul. Do you know what happened, folks? You get in there and read the Bible a little closer. Here's what you'll discover. You'll discover that one of the spies married her. Married Rahab. Yes, sir. She became his bride. And, of course, there's your genealogy that follows in suit. These spies spied out the land. He didn't have any idea that he was going to find his bride when he got to Jericho. But you know something else about Jericho. For Achan, Jericho was a place of death and destruction, for the curse swallowed him up. But for Jericho, for Rahab, it was a place of deliverance. She was taken out of it. She was carried from it. You see, the Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. God would never condemn you or destroy you with the vain and with the wicked. That's why the rapture is going to take place. He's going to come and catch his bride unto himself and lift us from this world. And then the judgment comes upon this earth. We are his bride, folks. Children by birth. Bride by choice. He has chosen us to become the bride of Christ. Amen. And I'm so thankful for that. On my knees a few years ago, in this lifetime, just a breath. Just a breath. 1973, not even a snap of your fingers. But I entered in. I was born again by the grace of God. And I'm going to tell you something right now. As far as my mind can conceive tonight, that future lies open for me, for I will live forever. And I'll live forever with the life of God. The greatest curse you could ever have, and I mean it would be a curse unspeakable, is for you to be carried from this earth in a human life and be carried into the presence of God in a human life. You would be so cursed in your soul. This is why you're born of the Spirit of God. That Spirit, the Bible talks about spirits of just men made perfect. That Spirit will be sailing out of here and forever and ever and ever and ever in the presence of God to enjoy that Creator. And as he reveals more and more and more and more of himself, that's our future. If streets of gold excite you, that's your business. That doesn't excite me. It's the Creator that excites me. Amen. That's the one who excites me. We'll meet Rahab one day. All these people you've read about in the Bible, they really lived. I'm going to get a good look at David. I don't see Abraham. I'm going to get a good look at Adam. See what that man, the first man of the earth, earthy, Adam. There he is. He had no father. God was his father. Adam. Boy, what a thing. See him? How about Noah? That they're up here talking about tonight. How long was it he building that ark? 120 years, yeah, he's building the ark. Noah, the ark builder. We're going to see him. How about the Apostle Paul? How about Peter? Oh, yeah. How about the Lord Jesus Christ? All that awaits us, folks. In his testimony, this brother says, I cannot wait to see my Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. He says, you know, you ever notice how stuff like this works? It's always good to hear somebody that's not versed in Christian cliches, you know, and all the church talk and all of that. They just come out with it spontaneously. It's just something that rises up from the inside because there's something different in them, but you witness to it. I like that. I like to hear them say that, things like that. He said, I want to be with my Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we should too. Amen. God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He said, he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Flesh goes back to the earth which gave it. Your spirit will sail from this body. We just read it, didn't we? Wasn't that good? What's that song we sang, Sweet Hour of Prayer? Here, you remember what page it was on? 71? See if you caught this when you were singing it a few minutes ago. Here's what it says. Sweet Hour of Prayer. 356 in the other one? Okay. And oft escape the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. Second, I'll cast on him my every care and wait for him, sweet hour of prayer. Listen to this one. And shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell. What? Sweet hour of prayer. We're there. We're there. When you're there, be no need for praying. You're right there. Farewell, farewell. Sweet hour of prayer. That's beautiful stuff. I love words. Father, thank you for your word. Bless it tonight. Bless it to our hearing, those who've heard it over the internet and hear it later. Bless them, Father. Bless these little children up here, Heavenly Father, just playing little children, Lord. And bless the teachers and those that are working with them to get your word into their heart in every way they possibly can, through picture graphs or through the word or whatever, that it gets into their soul and their spirit. In your holy name I pray, amen.